Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
It's finally here. No More Heroes is finally out. I cannot wait to get my hands on this thing. Like, yeah, just give me back my Otaku Assassin, dang it. Woo!
I didn't understand any of that, did you, Tyler?
Something about No More Heroes and Otaku.
Otaku and tacos. I heard tacos. I know I heard tacos. Whatever. And obviously, Tellius Tyler is here, too.
And you know what's going to coincide alongside the release of No More Heroes tomorrow? It's going to be Travis in Smash. Will was right.
I hope. I don't know.
Surprise announcement.
I wish. I hope.
No, but we already got confirmation that he's not going to be in Smash Brothers.
No, we know he's not. Yeah,
but yeah, a guy can dream.
Yes, it's been, actually, we're not going to lie, it's been kind of a slow week here on the Nintendo front.
A really slow week.
Yeah.
Like, a week that's just like I sat down, Todd said to look for some news, I was like, there is no news. There was no news.
It's been pretty dripping.
Well, I mean, there was news, but honestly, a lot of it came today.
Yeah.
Like, half the topics we're talking about came, like, today. So, yeah.
I mean, we could talk about games that got released, like Tales of Vesperia Definitive Edition. Mario Bros. Oh, that's a new story.
Yeah. So, but yeah, we do have some things to talk about, and we're going to enjoy starting off with what have you been playing? And I shall go first because I want to talk about a couple things that I did over the past week. One of which was obviously Smash Brothers, but a friend of mine, I can now call him a friend of mine, Omega Sparks, who you might know as the composer of certain tracks of Death Battle, including my personal favorite, Fight Like a Devil, which, if we're being honest, is going to be my wrestling theme song once I enter the wrestling ring. He's already given me permission to do so. Oh, you think I'm joking? I'm not. We hooked up on Twitter, exchanging friend codes and all that, and then he sent out an open challenge to have a tag battle war with anybody who was willing to come into his room. So after his arena, after coming, so I went in and I played as Link because I had to go with my best character that I feel comfortable with. And I kid you not, the best player in the room was not Omega Sparks. He was good. He played a Koopaling Roy. I was about to say Roy, but that's two different characters. So he played Koopaling Roy, and I'll tell you about him in a bit, but the best player is a guy named Syn, S-Y-N, and guess who he played as?
Ike.
Yeah.
Of course.
And he was a boss. The only reason I didn't play as Ike was because I didn't want to be two Ikes on the screen and kept getting lost. But that happened anyway, because these battles, there were some with, like, really close quarters, like Final Destination kind of stuff, and it was really hard to keep up with everything at times because there's four different characters battling all across the arena. It was so chaotic, but fun. And I did get to team up with Omega Sparks. We actually had this great combo going. He's a master of Koopaling long-range combat between his wind-up bots, the cannonball. He was able to get out of everyone's way. It was really hard to hit him at times. And so at one point, he's behind me, I'm like right in front of him, and then we're shooting enemies just with our arrows and cannonball attacks, and like no one can touch us. We're like spamming this for like a minute until finally we have to break it so we could get like, you know, damage combos and all that. But yeah, I lost a lot during those matches, but I also won a lot because of my partners, and I did get to team up with Syn, so we had my dream team of Ike and Link together, so that was really, really cool. But it made me remember that, you know, even when I'm not playing with you guys, because you guys keep ducking me. No, I'm joking.
What?
I'm joking. But you are. No. You know, I can. There's plenty of arenas that have fun. There's, you know, I love the idea of setting up an arena and seeing, you know, what stipulations, like, you know, tag battles or, you know, free for alls. It's all good fun. So I'll definitely be diving back into this weekend, especially since I hear that a snowstorm is once again going to be hitting the Midwest. Joy. Such joy. In my freezing apartment that a snowstorm is coming.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun. I saw the snow coming across. It looks like parts of the country are about to get bodied.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the weird thing is that a week ago, like tonight or Friday, there was no snow on the ground. And then they literally told us, you know, you're going to go to bed and you're going to wake up and there's going to be snow. they were right. And we got like about, I don't know, 5-6 inches. And I was like, yeah, I'm glad I'm inside. But then I, for whatever reason, I honestly wasn't cold in my apartment. I mean, I turned the heater on because it got a little nippy. But I mean, usually at this point, I'm freezing in my apartment. But then there was nothing. But then tomorrow or Saturday, we're supposed to not only get another snowstorm, but the winds are supposed to be like 30 miles per hour plus.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
And I'm
yes.
like, yeah, that's going to chill me to the bone. So Smash Brothers and Heroes, you know, just staying warm next to my heaters and, yeah, good times. Oh, speaking of good times, Fire Emblem Heroes, everybody. We finally got our Lagoos banner. And, oh, here, I'm gonna emulate my best Will and Tyler right
here.
Oh,
okay.
God. Here it goes. I am happy for you.
I know you're happy, but I'm just gonna...
I'm not! I am.
The RNG gods have blessed me. All RNG gods are on my side because I started out with 380. I had 380 orbs, and I honestly, well and truly, wanted all four Lagus characters, with, of course, my preference being Tibarn and Nyla. And so I start summoning, and because, and I'm going to comment on this in a bit, but because all four of them had different colors, it was really easy to get the percentages up. So I start going, and and eventually I get Tibarn as my first one. I'm like, thrilled. Awesome. So there you go. Three more to go. So I start summoning, Oh, look, there's Raisin. Awesome. So I start summoning, Oh, look, I got Leanne. And at this point, I'm like, crap. Because, again, my preference was Tibarn and Nyla, my queen. And at this, all the gods against me have in the past have always made me get, like, all the characters except the one I wanted at times. So I thought, oh, for sure, I'm not going to get Nyla. Three pulls later, I get Nyla. I have all four Lagoos, and Will does not. And it only took me 120 orbs.
That's amazingly good luck.
Amazingly good luck. I mean, I've had, like, you know, the free summon 5 stars in the past, both good ones and copies. It happens. But I don't think I've ever had it done this quickly. So, yeah, I have all four of my Lagoos warriors. I actually just put them all on a team and started to train them, which is actually harder because none of them are long-distance fighters. So
Tibarn can go like 3 square. Oh, they can't hit multi. I see what you mean.
No, like magic or like staff users like that. Yeah, yeah. Like Nyla has a close counter attack or whatever, but like the others don't. So they're pretty exposed, but they all have their pluses. Tibarn's a tank. Okay, like Tibarn's a boss.
I don't like the fact that he's weak to arrows because in his game he just doesn't care about arrows. He's just Tibarn, you know.
I agree with that. It's actually one of his Lagoo's keying abilities, so maybe they just couldn't logically put that in there. But then again, they gave Mikalas and Minerva the arrow ward,
right?
So it is kind of weird, but. But then
and he
like,
would be totally busted, but that's okay. He should be. He's Tibarn.
Yeah, he's Tibarn. But so I'm enjoying my Lagoos, and just on a whim, I don't even know why. Just on a whim, I went into like the touching thing where you like you press them and they talk.
The combos. Uh-huh.
And Nyla's voice is so on point. I fell in love with her all over again.
Oh boy.
No, I mean like. I mean, and again, this is just, I guess, I don't know if I just have a preference for these kinds of characters, but it's
God,
just...
I'm never going to give Will a hard time again.
Yeah. Well, hey, I don't do what Will does on Twitter, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. But but no, it's just like her, the way she talks, like with confidence and like power and elegance, it's just, it's awe-inspiring. And my favorite line is, and it's not even the one you might think. Okay, it probably is the one you think. It's, wait a minute. Did you say there's a Bjork here named Ike? I was like, oh, yeah, she even in this game, she respects Ike. So, or there's another one where she goes, someone is eager to lose a finger.
okay.
So, but, like, and I never thought about it until now, but Nyla didn't have a voice in Fire Emblem Radiant Dawn. Tibarn did in, like, one scene. And it was actually kind of bad, if we're being honest with each other.
They were
other.
All not great.
Well, no, some of them were good. Like, if you listen to Screamier and Ranulf's conversation, like, they
Randolph's is kind of meh. Like it's not terrible, but it's all right.
I don't know, I like the soft spoken nature of it. I mean, he didn't have to be loud. He was like, he goes, "I am Randolph, right he to the future king of Gallia. Does that count?" And he's talking to like the general who's about to kill him, basically, and he's like, he has no fear. But whatever. But anyway, I was so happy to have all my Lagoos, and I'm really glad that we had now Lagoos in the game, and I hope this is a trend of what's to come. But now I've got, 270 orbs, and it's just like, what do I do with them all?
Curse you.
Curse you, Will! Will in our Slack chat was like, curse you, Todd. I'm like, no! You guys have had the best luck and all your blood sacrifices, and I've had to work the hard way to get all of my 5-star characters. I am not going to be sorry for getting these characters in 120 orbs. I earned this!
Curse your luck. Curse your luck.
Yeah, whatever. But no, I'm very happy, and I'm sure between Smash Brothers and Heroes. Oh yeah, I played this other game. I forgot. It's called Coffee Crisis.
Okay.
I know. It's trust me. This is just the tip of the weirdness iceberg. It was basically it's a game like a old school side scroller beat 'em up like Streets of Rage or Double Dragons stuff like that. I wouldn't recommend it. It really wasn't that fun, and it was I'm sorry, but when I have to do an attack and that attack does damage to me, I feel that's a problem. So, if you check out Coffee Crisis, you know, make sure you have at least got a good deal on it. Don't spend too much money. I just don't. There's better indie games on the Switch. So, there you go. But I've actually had a pretty decent week of playing games, and I look forward to seeing what comes next. So,
nice.
Oh, nice, nice. Just continuing on the Fire Emblem Heroes rant, and yeah, again, curse you. So for me,
I'm not gonna apologize.
Yes. Bless the RNG Jesus on you then. But yeah, I mean, as for me, also been playing on the Fire Emblem Heroes side of myself. That's why I'm doing the bonds events of the Lagoos, which is I gotta say the Lagoos combos for that building a bonds event is actually pretty interesting. Like, again, you seeing the characters as well as like what was that Heron Prince, what's his name,
Rayson.
Yeah about his mistrust.
No, see, you had to play Path of Radiance because that conversation was terrible, I thought. Really? And like, because Rayson's such a great character, and like, I get it, like it wasn't horribly written, like I totally, if you haven't played the game, I see why you would like it. He's so much more complex than that, though, and they just kind of made him like a "I really need to get stronger" character. He's not that character.
Yeah, he is.
He's not.
No, yes, he is. If you recall, he actually would hover around Tibarn because he wants to be as strong as him, and that's
why he wants
to
help out. But he's not about physical strength. He never was.
Okay,
Rayson
I will grant you
always wants
that.
To help, but in this, it's about him trying to bulk up and like become a fighter. And like, he's a Heron. They are not fighters. He uses magic. He knows his magic has insane powers. Like. Yeah. It just, that wasn't Rayson. That was okay. Just
but the Lagus Bjork conversation, that was Rayson. Okay, like his mistrust, that was pure Rayson. Now, like, I will agree about the whole, you know, bulking up thing. That was a little out of character. So, but everything else I feel was pure Rayson.
So yeah, overall I really enjoyed the Build Your Bonds event, and I gotta say, and also just on a side note as well, like as we mentioned in Slack chat, like yeah, I did a blood sacrifice. I actually bought the bundle for a New Year's Eve.
No,
Bjorn.
You didn't.
Yes, I did.
You spent $75 on that.
Yes. So.
Sir, you are part of the problem.
He is part of the
because
problem.
Because of you, they're gonna keep doing stupid stuff like that.
Hey, don't judge me.
You could have spent $75 on so many other things. Like, so many better things. So many games. You could have bought whole games for those $75.
You could have bought multiple games for that amount. Like, you could have bought, like, 7 to 10 indie games, depending on the price.
Again, do not judge me. And yes, again, judge me. Wait, I don't care anymore. But basically, yeah, I got the New Year's Eve Fjorm bundle. And I gotta say, if you check out the voice lines for New Year's Eve Fjorm, she is adorable. I mean, we already knew that Fjorm has feelings for the summoner. And New Year's Eve Fjorm just pretty much emphasizes that wholeheartedly. You will not believe how many times I feel like I had diabetes just by listening to her voice. It's like, holy moly. But yeah, New Year's Eve form, overall good, and actually not too long ago, I actually managed to pull up a New Year's Eve What was the prince's name? Fjord? No. Musy Prince.
What's his name? Grim?
Yeah,
guy?
Grid, something like that. Yeah, I managed to pull him on the summoning ticket on it. So yeah, all right. I got two of the New Year's Eve banners, so I'll take what I can get, honestly. Yeah,
and suffer.
Yeah, screw you. I still have one. We still have one more week or so before it goes away. And yeah, overall, like Fire Emblem Heroes have been. RNGs, please bless me, please. And overall, I've been playing with the Smash Bros. Basically, working my way through the characters' classic mode. And I just recently finished up Snake's classic mission. And yeah, Snake, he's just a fun character to use, and as you two probably know as well.
Yeah, he's okay. Oh, here we go. It's Hrid.
Hrid. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Continue on.
I hate those stupid Fire Emblem Heroes original characters. Like, that's nobody wants them. Like, nobody. I kind of like Aerith's design. Like, she has a cool look to her. But I just want my other characters. You know, give me Ranulf. Give me a seasonal Ranulf. That would be awesome. I have been playing Smash, of course. What else am I playing? And I am sadly addicted to the game. I started to pick up Luigi and Pikachu now in my quest to play as every single character. And I keep going back and playing as the other ones because I want to refresh. And I realized very quickly that I'll never be able to be really good with every character because it's just so hard to remember every single mechanic for each guy when you switch back and forth. It's so stinking challenging. But I was playing as Yoshi earlier today, and he is such a strange character. Like, he's so strong in some ways and so weak in others. But I hate a couple things about this game that I've saw so many positives. I want to say some negatives that I just don't like that annoy me. The cross-up mechanic, so when you can't run through somebody's shield. Like, in other old games, you could go through somebody's shield. In this game, you supposedly can't, and you definitely can't just walk through someone's shield, but sometimes my dash attacks go through somebody's shield, and I go on, like, I'll cross them up and go behind them so they can't just hit me right away, and other times I'll just stop in front of their shield, and it's so seemingly random, I have no idea when it does what, and it drives me insane. Also, I hate the fact that you can get punished for hitting a move at low percents, so if I'm Fox and I hit with my Nair at 0%, I get hit. Because they're out of their hits done and they don't move anywhere, so then you just get hit. I hate that. That really annoys me. And I also really, 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 really dislike moves that are broken for, like, no reason. So, like, Samus's jab I've complained about before, where her jab 1 does not link into her jab 2. You can literally just shield it and it does 2 damage, and then you get a punish off the second jab because it doesn't combo. Yoshi has the same stupid thing on his jab, and it looks fast, but jab 1 doesn't link into jab 2, and there's just never a reason to do it. Like, why would you make a move useless like that on purpose? Like, just the move should link. Like, if you want to make it weaker, make it lower percent, or make it not do knockback, or something, just like, but give it some sort of utility. And the same thing for Sonic's up air. Sonic's up air was so good in Smash 4, and in Ultimate, it doesn't link. The first hit where he sticks his legs out, doesn't combo into the one where he snaps it up for the kill. And it makes no sense why they would break those moves. I am so frustrated with that. And also, I am so frustrated with the internet. The Switch's internet, or Nintendo's internet service is so bad that the game constantly freezes, and it's just constant lag, and you miss in because you press jump when the game is frozen, and then you don't jump, and then you press dash attack, or you press dash and then attack, and then the dash comes out but the attack doesn't, or the attack comes out but the dash doesn't, and then it's not what you want, and then you get hit. It's so frustrating. Frustrations aside, though, the game is amazing. I just did Kirby's classic mode. That one's awesome. Like, every battle, you start with 35%, and you have to try to eat the food to recover.
The gourmet race.
Yeah. So it just really creative stuff there. All the classic modes I've done so far are great. I did Luigi's too. You fight Luigi's nightmares, and there's like the dark Toon Links you have to fight, and you finish with a battle with Dracula. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, a lot of great stuff in there to counterbalance my minor my minor gripes, but gosh, I wish the stupid cross-up mechanic was universal. Like, I wish it made sense. You know, I just wish it made sense.
Eh. Yeah, there's always something, you know, that will make you angry about a game like Smash Brothers. And yeah, I'm really impressed with you, Tyler, because you really are doing the whole, like, I want to play as everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone is here and I will learn them all.
I will learn them all. Like, I'm never going to be masters of them all, as I said, but I want to be able to, like, each character has, like, a certain play style, and I want to be able to just do all of them. Like, with Ice Climbers, I really want to be able to desync them and do some cool Ice Climber combos. That just sounds like so much fun to me. And I'm getting there. Ice Climbers are coming up pretty quick. Ness is next for me.
All right. Well, it has been a somewhat lighter week for Nintendo, but there has been some pretty good news overall. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. Well, I guess we should just start with the most brutal, impactful, face-ripping, blood-splurting, get-over-here-ing combat active title coming to the Switch. Did you hear about a game called Mortal Kombat 11? I'm just saying. So yeah, they had their community reveal event today. It was 30 minutes on a stage and then a bunch of stuff afterwards of like just playing around and talking to celebrities and lots of cosplayers at this event. There were some really good ones, including some WWE superstars.
Mm-hmm. Xavier Woods was there. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Xavier, Big E, and Selena Vega. So, who's a really good Jade. But, yeah, so here's the gist of it all. The game is gore.
Mm-hmm.
The game is freaking gore. All right, like, if you thought the trailer for the game was something, wait till you actually see the gameplay. And you can. There's plenty of gameplay trailers out there now. They literally did not, if they ever held themselves back, I'm stuttering because this is so insane. If they ever held themselves back before, they said, screw it, we're done. All right. Everything that is anything that is violent in this game is possible in this game. Okay. It's literally, I can't even describe it. I can't.
If anyone has grew up with Mortal Kombat back in the day, back in the early 90s, like, we always thought back in Mortal Kombat 2 and Mortal Kombat 3, like, we thought those things were brutal enough. No, sorry, about 10 years, 20 years afterwards since then, you thought that was worse? No way. Have you seen, like, Scarlet, Baraka, Sub-Zeros, all those fatalities, and especially those close-up breaking bonage is, like, holy moly, they do not hold back, and I'm really like pretty much that's kind of the main staples of Mortal Kombat is like just that pure blood and gore is like, I mean, sure, it was single-handedly responsible for the ESRB rating boards, but again, that's kind of what Mortal Kombat is. It's the spirit of it.
Yeah, it's just they revealed actually surprisingly little if you actually think about it.
Yeah, they only revealed eight characters, but seven playable characters. Yeah.
Well, that's the current build right now, obviously. It's not until April, of course,
And then they teased Cabal in a literal blinkety-miss-it moment. But yeah. And then if you looked at the character selection grid, it wasn't that tall. So I'm really hoping that this is just, you know, the bare bones, this is the build we have going right now, because
Nash has ruined us for other character rosters. They said there's only going to be 25 playable characters.
Okay,
so
that's more. That was way more than what they showed today. Like in the selection grid, they had like 10 or like 15, whatever. But yes, they showed a few returning characters, including Baraka, who is a fan favorite, and Scarlet.
I love Baraka.
A lot of people like Scarlet.
Yeah, Scarlet,
a weird ad. She was like a DLC in Mortal Kombat 9, and I'm pretty sure she wasn't in 10.
No, she wasn't, but that's the thing. When they did the DLC for 9 and they put her into it, fans started begging for Scarlet back, but they had already started to work on 10, so they couldn't do that. So she was the most requested return character for Mortal Kombat 11.
Oh, wow.
I know. But yeah, Baraka's back, and he's just as, yeah, he's brutal as ever. And then we got a new character in Garrus, who is one of the two new time-traveling characters, one of which was teased in the Mortal Kombat Prologue cutscene, which is out in full. You can watch it now. It picks up, like, directly after the events of Mortal Kombat 10 with Raiden going evil after fighting Shinnok and all that. So we get a tease of her and her time-traveling abilities. And Garrus, or as the internet is already calling him, time-traveling Gaara. yeah, people who watch his trailer. Yeah, exactly.
I see the similarity. Yeah.
But he's a brand new character with a earth-based attack plus time travel. Always a good combination. So and then one of the other big reveals was Sonya Blade is not only back in the game this time around, she is voiced by the baddest woman on the planet, Ronda Rousey. Nobody.
Nothing? I mean, I'm not a Ronda Rousey fan, but I am a fan of... Listen, Ronda Rousey quit, dude. Like, she got beat up by Holly Holm, and then she, like, ran and hid. Like, that was not how a champion reacts.
Oh, boy.
I don't like Ronda Rousey. But I do think that that's a really cool pick for somebody to play Sonya, and this might change my opinion of her just because I do love Sonya Blade.
That's fine.
I mean, she's a classic. Sonya Blade is definitely one of the classic characters of Mortal Kombat, and for her, I mean, bringing Ronda Rousey to voice her is definitely like kind of like expected, because again, you might as well bring in the star power to help advertise the game, and heck, why not Ronda Rousey? I mean, she's one of the kick-ass females in the industry right now, so yeah.
And the current WWE Raw Women's Champion. So yeah, but apparently, like, she was inspired by Sonya Blade when it came to her fighting style in MMA. So that was actually a pretty cool reveal, including her armbar, which is legendary. Both Sonya's and Ronda's. So, of course, now this is just sparking rumors that John Cena is going to be Johnny Cage, which I
that
do not
the
want.
Rumors.
I do not want that at all. I mean, I respect John Cena, but
what?
Say the heck...
That would be amazing!
That would be horrible!
That would be so great!
You know who would be a great Johnny Cage? Legit? Nathan Fillion.
Okay, I mean, yeah, but he wouldn't be as cool as John Cena. And you could get The Rock to be Jax. That would be cool, too.
I think Johnson as Jax?
I could see it, but it'd have to be, like, low-key, because Jax is not over the top.
But it would be pretty cool. I would be down.
It would actually, I think this would be a good chance to see show us how he would voice Black Adam in his upcoming DC film, which may or may not be made, but it said he's going to be Black Adam, and of course Black Adam isn't over the top, so I could see that voice transferring to Jax. But yeah, I don't know, but that was the only big voice announcement, so that's pretty good. Oh yes, and for those of you who like to go over the top, looking at you, Will, there is going to be a collector's edition for Mortal Kombat, and in this collector's edition, you will get the mask of Scorpion. Yes, and you can actually pre-order it now. So, oh wait, never mind, they're all sold out. I'm kidding. No, I wouldn't be surprised though. Okay, Tyler, you didn't see it, but when they did the reveal of the mask, the guy who made the announcement suddenly had the mask in his hand, and the whole audience was like, wait, where did that come from? And he goes, this didn't just happen. I walked backwards and it was there, okay? I just picked it up. It's just like, it was hilarious, because, like, oh my gosh, look at where did the mask come from? He picked it up, people. He's not really Scorpion. Sheesh. All right, but no, seriously, this game looks not just brutal in every sense of the word, but incredibly customizable. Like, they have built upon what Mortal Kombat did with its variants system of, like, the three different styles. Not only are you still going to have that, but you can now customize how each version looks and customize the weapons to have special abilities themselves. So you're going to have different playstyles, different armors, different weapons that you can all customize to your playstyle.
I just want to note that, because they're kind of more or less bringing the things they did with Injustice Gods Among Us into this game in Mortal Kombat 11. And that's kind of a good thing to, like, really vary it up, your own character, your own personal characters of Scorpion or with the rest of the cast.
Kitana. They need to reveal Kitana, first of all.
Oh, she'll be there.
She's a classic. She's in the story. She's in the story.
Yeah, I mean, they it's also like they in the trailer for the game, they revealed Liu Kang and Shang Lao, Kung Lao.
Kung Lao.
They're revenants right now though.
But yeah, but they're still in the game.
Okay, good.
Just also noting as well, because like as Boone has said in the stage presence, basically the story is basically like the characters facing off the younger versions of themselves,
Yeah.
which is kind of an interesting take, given the whole premise of whole time travel. Again, the dark revenants facing off as a young their young versions, their good versions, is like, I mean, again, if you've seen a lot of time travel movies and all media, I think you pretty
They
much get the
just did a
idea.
time travel story. I'm kind of annoyed that they're doing another time
But
travel.
it's
Mortal Kombat
different.
9 was a time travel story.
Okay, but this is different. That was Raiden going back in time to make sure Shao Kahn didn't
Yeah,
win.
but it's a time travel story. The
But no, no,
last
but
two Mortal
this, the,
Kombat,
this,
two of the last three
seriously.
have been time travel stories.
No,
That's
seriously,
fine.
though, this is a different kind of time travel story because we find out that there is an overseer to the entire Mortal Kombat universe, and she's ticked that Raiden is screwing the timeline again. She let it pass the first time. She's not doing that again, and so she's bringing back the past, present, and future of Mortal Kombat to make sure that Raiden learns his lesson.
Right, I get that, but it doesn't change the fact that they just did another time travel story. Like, I wish they were more creative with it. Like, I know it's a different story, but it's still a time travel story, and we've seen so many of those. Like, mix it up. But I'm still very, very, very excited for this game. The only thing that I am nervous about, like you said, with all that customization, it does take me back to custom moves in Smash and how stupid they were. Like, they just were not a good addition to the game. So I'm afraid, if there may be some imbalance, it might be harder to balance the
And
game with.
for me, I'm just kind of worried about, again, with the whole like their last game with also Injustice. I'm just worried about if there's any microtransactions in the game, because it seems like it's ripe for for WB games to actually just like have like some sort of loot box systems to like just pay for, and you get these different upgrades and customizable characters for modifiers for your characters. So that's kind of one thing I'm kind of worried about, transactions.
Yeah, I hear that.
I would actually be surprised if they went microtransactions because they didn't do it in Injustice. Oh wait, actually yes they did. Never
They
mind.
kind of did. They
They
did.
did. They did actually. I forgot that they did. But that was more like cosmetic buying armor to make it look cool.
And it actually
So.
has a stat modifier, if you remember, because it is a modifier. There are stat modifiers if you want to go
Yeah.
online battles. So, yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that could ruin this game for me because being on Switch, it's such a perfect opportunity to be able to, take this game out to the world and challenge people on the go.
Right. That is true. That is true. Oh boy.
Yeah. But no matter what, this game is very it, this game is going to do well no matter what system it's on, and it's going to be on like all the systems. So I am actually incredibly curious to see how well this does on Switch because,
Right.
like Will has noted in the past, this Mortal Kombat has not been on a true Nintendo console in a very long time. We're
Back in the
talking like
SNES
at
days,
least
yeah.
3 or 4 generations, if not more.
Yes.
So to have it back on a Nintendo system and have it on the Switch, which is, arguably one of the best systems to have a fighting game with because you can take it on the go. I'm very curious to see how well this does. And all I can think of as I'm watching this trailer is, huh, Bayonetta was the most mature game on the Switch. Mortal Kombat 11, hold my beer. So, I mean, if anything, I would honestly think that Nintendo could use this to their advantage. Like, think about it, because before they had Bayonetta, but Bayonetta was, part of Platinum, which is known for going over the top. But if any person says, I don't think a mature game can work on the Switch, they just go Mortal Kombat. Like, think about it, like, what could be worse than Mortal Kombat?
Oh,
Because
again, Mortal Kombat is its own little thing, yeah.
exactly, but I mean, like, they have a finishing move where an eyeball goes through the back of your head. I mean,
Did you see
Yes.
Baraka's fatality?
Yes!
Yep,
Oh my
yep.
gosh.
Face gone, skull gone, brain awesome, tasty.
God, I love
Yep,
Baraka.
yep,
Baraka
yep.
always does it. No matter what you tell him not to do it, Baraka always goes for the brain. He
Here.
just.
I kid you not, I don't know if you saw this, but one of the biggest pops of the day wasn't just when Baraka was revealed, but when they were showing off the different skins of Scorpion and Baraka as
Yes,
examples.
yes, yes.
Like, one of Baraka's looks just got the whole crowd talking. I don't even remember which one it was, but it was just like, oh my gosh, that looks so cool for Baraka! So, yeah, a lot of Baraka fans over there. So, but all the stream can be watched now, including the all the reveal trailers and the intro prologue to the game. So if you haven't seen it yet, go check it out. All right, moving on to other Nintendo news. The rumors about the Nintendo Switch Online getting SNES games continues to grow, and a update for the Nintendo Switch Online has teased more SNES games, including Super Mario All-Stars, Super... According, this is data mined from this. As we've got Breath of Fire 2, Contra 3, Demon's Crest, F-Zero, Kirby's Dream Course, Kirby's Dream Land 3, Kirby Superstar. There's a lot of Kirby games on Super Nintendo. Mystical Ninja, Pilot Wings, Poppin' Twin B, Star Fox, Star Fox 2, which, if you know the history of Nintendo, you know why that's special. Stunt Race, FX, Super Ghouls and Ghosts, Super Mario All-Stars, Super Mario Kart, Super Mario World, Super Metroid, Super Punch-Out, Super Soccer. Lots of super games, my gosh. Yoshi's Island, and Zelda A Link to the Past. So, yeah, if this is true, we're going to be getting a lot of SNES games on the online, which, again, if you have it, it's free.
Well, here's the thing, right? That I it's strange to me that, because these were data mined, are they going to release these like three at a time? Like they're
more than
releasing
likely
games now? Probably. And that just stinks. They're already in the, you already have them in there. Like, just give them to us. Like, making them slow drip release is just, I don't know why I didn't realize it before now, because it's the same thing with the NES games.
Yes,
just,
it's pretty much the same thing, yes.
Yeah, just, I mean, we just give us the stupid games. Don't make us wait for them. We're already paying for your stupid service. It does literally nothing besides give us these games.
It's definitely the Nintendo thing that happened, including, like, back in the Wii U days. Like, yeah, they only release, like, one game per month, or if not a year if, at all. And, yeah, when I turned on my Switch today, I just realized, like, oh, the Nintendo Online Service app got updated. Okay, and then there's, like, new games, including the one that has that Assist Trophies main game on it, that one that looked like a jelly bean of some sort. But, yeah, that's, like... Nintendo is definitely kind of like, I want them to also release their games as well, but I kind of also kind of understand why they're doing it. It's because, like, yeah, we already have like many games, and granted the online system is still needs much improvement, but the fact of these NES classic, SNES classic games they have in their library is like, we're not gonna spoil you too much, but at the same time, like, we're gonna want to see if you want to demand for it or just like, yeah. I don't know. It's just kind of like they're kind of like dangling the carrot in front of Nintendo fans right now, it seems.
Well, it's, in my opinion, is if, for the record, while we, if this list is true, let's just say the list is true, just because they're quote unquote in the game or in the online space, it doesn't mean that they're actually all done. It could be a placeholder or whatever. We don't know. But the way I see it is that they might not want to release it all in bulk because, let me just bring up the list again. So like we got like Super Metroid. All-time classic game. I can honestly say I've never played it. Maybe I did. No, I remember now. I played it like a level because a friend of mine had it, but not me. So, you know, a lot of people will go to that first. But, and so if you release, you know, Link Between Worlds, sorry, Link to the Past, that'd be hilarious to have Link Between Worlds as an SNES game. A Link to the Past, Super Metroid, Pilot Wings, and Kirby, I would bet you dollars to donuts that everyone would want to play like the three main games and leave Pilot Wings in the dust. But if you release, you know, Pilot Wings and then Metroid together as one thing, then 2 weeks later you release, you know, Link to the Past and Super Ghosts and Ghouls, or Ghouls and Goblins or whatever it was, you know, they'll think, okay, I could beat this game in a week, and then I can beat the other game in another week, and then I'm ready for the next one. So they're spacing it out so that, at least in my opinion, they're spacing it out so that they can let people play games that they'd never like. Didn't you say, Tyler, a few podcasts ago that you played a NES game that you were having a lot of fun with?
That I was playing it. Yes, what was it called? I can't remember the name. Open Golf or something. It was just Mario Golf, the very first one, but it wasn't Mario Golf. I think it's like Open something.
Yeah. So, but you've never played that game before, right?
Yeah.
Before.
No.
See, so I think that's what they're doing here is that they're trying to space it out. Now, granted, I don't think they should do like, you know, three a month like they've kind of done here. Where so clearly they need to get their act together for the SNES versions. But if they do it like say two or three games every 2 weeks, that's, you know, lots of space, lots of time, plenty of time for Smash Brothers, and then they can go and play these classic titles.
Right. And we kind of mentioned in the last podcast as well, but it also kind of squashes the rumor, any hopes of probably in an SNES classic. Again, that's kind of given. Yeah.
N64 classic.
You meant N64 classic, right? Because the SNES classic already exists.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry, audience. I'm sorry.
Yep, that's why I'm the host, because I know the correct terms.
It happens to everyone.
Not me, I'm the host.
Well, I'll point it out when it happens to you, Todd.
I'm kidding. It's already happened. I know it has. But,
No,
it's all right. But again, we'll just have to see. Hopefully we do get confirmation of this soon, because I know a lot of people will be happy about it.
We'll just edit this out.
No.
We're not going to edit this out.
No, heck no. That's too much work on me. And the host doesn't need to do any more work. Moving on to something I am happy about. Okay, apparently our benevolent leader, Koopa Keith, noted that there was supposed to be a Power Rangers game coming out soon. And then today it got leaked early. And now we can confirm that Power Rangers Battle for the Grid is coming to every single console, including Nintendo Switch and PC, in, I think they said, April of this year. So, and this is a full stop, full blown Power Rangers fighting game. Yes. And of course they showed it off with the all-time classic rivalry of the Red Ranger Jason Lee Scott versus the Green Ranger Tommy Oliver. And then they had a special cameo with the Samurai Ranger, which was cool. No, wait, I apologize. That was actually Mega Force Yellow, my bad. And I'm just so excited I got my Power Rangers mixed up. Because clearly I know all of them, because I am a fan. But at the end, the biggest thing of all was the end of the trailer, where the freaking legend himself, Jason David Frank, was seen playing this game. Because it's Morphin time, baby. So, yeah. I want it. I want it now.
I mean, the last Power Rangers fighting game I actually played was back in the SNES days with the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the fighting edition. Like, what you control the Zords and then fight against each other, including Goldust and Ivan Ooze. Like, that was the last game I remember playing with, and that was a great game. So,
The Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue game, which I had on N64, that had a Megazord fighting game. You could play as two of the different Megazords and like five of the villains in a 3D open world battle. It was actually kind of fun. It was very addictive. The rest of the game wasn't that good though. It was
right. Yeah. And the last major Power Rangers IP release game that was absolutely horrible. The last like that almost cartoony look. So hopefully this one can redeem themselves fighting game, because how hard it is to screw up a fighting game. So hopefully I have.
Do you really want me to answer that question?
Okay.
Because there's so many bad fighting games out there, Will. You know this.
Right. But hopefully this one finally revitalized the Rangers IP in a good light. Hopefully.
Go ahead, please, Tyler.
I was just going to say, I really don't know a whole lot about the Power Rangers games, but based off of your enthusiasm, I feel like this might be worth keeping an eye on.
Oh, yeah, I mean, as in all things, it looks good now because they're trying to show us the best light, and they had this split screen of the four consoles it was on, and each one had a different Ranger helmet connecting into one.
That's cool.
You know, that was a great shot, and of course, having the JDF, Jason David Frank, playing the game and helping ushering this in is legendary. But that doesn't mean the game's going to play well. Okay. There's still a lot of questions about, you know, the size of the roster, who's all going to be there, is there going to be a story mode, what other modes are there. We do know that it's going to be cross-play compatible on all four systems. So if you want to battle your friend on PC with your Switch, you can do that. If you have a PS4, you can do cross-play! It's such a novel concept! Stupid Sony. But yes, it's all cross-play compatible. You can play it on all these systems. If you are a Power Rangers fan and you want to play this game, you have options. So.
Right. I'm just looking at the credits right now. Yeah, from Hasbro.
Just Hasbro?
It says Hasbro. Yes.
Hasbro did buy the rights. Like that was a big coup that they got. You know, all the rights to Power Rangers, and so. That's interesting, but if this does well, this could probably lead to a lot of Power Rangers titles in the future, which I fully support if done right.
Here's hoping.
As long as EA doesn't do it, because then they'll pull Star Wars and just cancel them all before getting done. Hi! I'm sorry, did I just diss EA and DICE? It's not like they've ever screwed anything up before. That's not their battlefront. Oops!
Wow, that was good.
Thank you.
That was great. Well done.
Thank you. I'm proud of myself from time to time. But no, I'm seriously looking forward to the Power Rangers game, and if we get a chance to get it for Outer Haven, I will likely be the one reviewing it because I am one of the biggest Power Rangers fans here. Though I'm happy to hear that a lot of my fellow Outer Haven guys, not you guys per se, because you weren't in the Slack conversation, but we're also excited about the trailer. So yay, I'm not alone. I've been alone for so long. Todd, why do you like Power Rangers? It's Power Rangers, dang it! I remember the Power Rangers movie video game. Like, that one was awesome. Yeah. So, I look forward to seeing where this one goes. But, yeah. Alright, moving on to Sakurai. Mr. Sakurai has done another Famitsu post. This is one actually he did before the end of last year, but it's being released here in the new year. And he's talking about all the things that he did over the Christmas break. And of course, he's been playing Smash Brothers, but there was one other game I want to bring up that he was playing a lot. Dragon Quest Builders 2.
Ooh.
Yeah, he said that not only did he really like the game, he was basically addicted to it.
Huh.
And that he could literally spend like all his time, and I quote, mining or prepping the soil. So, okay, whatever Tripstein triggers, Sakurai. Soil digs in. No, I'm kidding. Then again, knowing Sakurai, piranha plant.
Yeah, you could just be like, the trailer is piranha plant, like, gets flipped over and they shake him out of the pot.
Yeah.
And they zoom in on the pot and there's some soil in
it. Yeah, the soil. All right, anyway. But he says he's really liking that game. And, of course, one of the big rumors about the DLC characters is that we're going to get a Dragon Quest character. So was this a convenient plug for a game that he loves, or was this something more?
It seems to be like a very likely connection because, again, like Dragon Quest is definitely one of those, is a very famous franchise in Japan, so
of course
it would not be surprising. And again, who hasn't played Dragon Quest over in Japan, which it would be quite something to say at least. But
yeah,
Dragon Quest in Smash Bros. Would be likely, and I would like definitely would like to see it because, again, it's one is Dragon Quest alongside with Final Fantasy fame. So, but yeah, Dragon Quest Builders, Sakurai's love, it just, yeah, it kind of makes sense. It kind of seems logical.
I'm gonna say Sakurai's trolling here. and because you know Sakurai, he's a troll. And I first of all, if this happens, I don't want any credit. Do not give me any credit. Do not say you called it, because I've gone back and forth on it 100 times. But I think that this is a pump fake, because we think there's a Square Enix character. I've heard lots of talk about Dragon Quest. Sakurai knows the rumors. He knows that people have been talking about it for months, that there's going to be a Dragon Quest character. It would be just like him to say, oh, I've been really loving me some Dragon Quest. I'm really, really loving it. And then the Square Enix character is Sora in the end, and everybody freaks out, and that's it. It's not Dragon Quest, it's Sora. And the reason why I think this, I don't know if I talked about this on the last podcast, I don't think I did, the that character, Brave, has been data mined. You can put his physics onto existing characters right now, so somebody took his weight, his height, and his floatiness and his speed, and they put it onto a character in the game already, and he's a really, not really, really, but he's a floatier character with decent speed, not super heavy, kind of like in the middle weight area. That the floatiness in particular screams Sora to me. So
interesting.
I think that this is a pump fake, and I think that it's nothing more than that.
I would have to agree. I like that. That's a great analysis, Tyler. But I have to agree with you. If for no other reason than Sakurai didn't even mention Persona ever in any of his chats, and he clearly loves the game. I mean, again, he went to their headquarters to hug the mascot and talk about, you know, Joker and Smash Brothers, which is awesome. But he never even mentioned Persona or his love of Persona before then. So why would he tease Dragon Quest here by mentioning Dragon Quest, you know, Builders 2? So
right.
I'm with Will, where it's more of a case that Dragon Quest is uberly popular. Like, seriously, even though Final Fantasy is very popular in Japan, it's more so in the U.S., whereas Dragon Quest has always been like a Japan thing.
Yeah.
We've had great Dragon Quest games over here, like Dragon Quest VIII especially, and of course some of the 3DS ports, but Dragon Quest is always is Dragon Quest is like Monster Hunter. It's always been more popular in Japan, and up until recently, and now I'm with you both. It's just it's a coincidence, but it's just the because of the rumors. It's hilarious, and you know, and like Tyler said, you know he's heard these rumors. So it's just the timing of it all that someone would say he would say anything Dragon Quest with maybe a Dragon Quest character coming. I don't know. We'll just have to see. Oh boy. All right, Sue. Let's see, where are we at now? Oh yes, the president of Nintendo has been voicing some thoughts on certain things. He talked with Kyoto Shimbun, and he had some things to talk about, including the thing that Tyler likes to bring up a lot, the $20 million Switch unit goal. He goes, it's not an easy target to hit by any means, so we're going to thoroughly examine the trends from the year end and beginning of the year. And we're going to go into our third year of the console soon, and the newness of this Switch will start wearing off. Yeah, I guess that's fair. 2 years is, newness. That's fair. He goes, so it's crucial for us to release a steady stream of games. If only there was a way for them to talk about new games in a very public manner.
It would be great.
That would be so great. You know, just talking directly to people. Man, it's just these ideas just never happen. Let's see. So he also talked about Pokemon Go and Pokemon Let's Go. We'll be talking about that in a bit. He talked about Nintendo Labo. Oh, here's an interesting. He goes, it hasn't sold as well as our other hit games have, but we did have an increase in sales for Labo during the end of the year. There are many new ways to experience Labo, and we're working on formulating new methods that convey its allure so Labo sales will have longer legs. That's fair. I mean, did we really expect Labo to be like a bajillion seller? I mean,
they definitely did. I mean, I think that they thought it was going to do a lot. He said that they thought it would do better than it did. I mean, obviously, a bajillion seller, like, they didn't think it was going to be a ridiculous thing.
It wasn't going to be Smash Brothers.
Right, exactly. But I think a lot of people, investors particularly, expected it to be more, a bigger hit than it was. I remember reading a lot of just people from the toy industry saying that building was huge right now, and it just didn't take off, probably because of the price point. So we'll see, though. I mean, maybe that they've come up with a more enticing way to kind of showcase it. There's going to be another set, perhaps.
Maybe. I mean, again, it did better than a lot of people expected it to, because it's freaking cardboard.
It didn't. I mean, it didn't flop. I mean, it
no,
wasn't
it
a
hardly
total
flopped.
Flop, but
it hardly flopped. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see where that goes. Lost my place. Oh yeah, here's my personal favorite. What are your plans for your handheld system, Nintendo 3DS? Yeah. He talks basically about, you know, it's 8 years into the life cycle. It's actually a little more than that, but 3DS. The 3DS has its advantages in being a simple and lightweight handheld that is also quite inexpensive. We plan to continue our 3DS business moving forward, as we've already prepared it to exist alongside the Switch. Why? Let it die! Did you not hear my Nintendo draft pick?
Yeah, okay. I mean, they clearly didn't. I think they almost did. They rule it out. I saw a headline that said they said it won't be discontinued before this year.
Not yet.
It's like
not
so
yet.
Ridiculous. What are they going to port over next? Like they ported over Kirby's Extra Epic Yarn, and are they going to like bring like Kirby's Return to Dream Land over? Are they going to bring like just every Wii game? Are they just going to bring all Wii games?
it's definitely something to see. Like, again, Nintendo, you had this thing for so long now. As you said, I agree with Todd. Like, yeah, definitely, it's about time to let this thing down. But for me, like, before you cancel it off, again, bring over Persona Q 2 over here in the States, and then you can kill it off, please.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, even like the sales people said, like 3DS did not have a good end of the year. It was like a direct contrast to what happened last year, where it sold like 1.5 million in December, which blew everyone's minds. Yeah. You know, it didn't have it this year because there wasn't enough to get this year. And yeah, whatever. So Nintendo, listen to the guy you're going to be hiring soon. I wish. Just focus on the Switch. You know, you've got a lot to do with the Switch, and we'll talk about that later, but let the 3DS die. It did its job. it did a good thing. If it's the last Nintendo handheld, which is not confirmed by any stretch of the imagination, but if it is, it went out on a good note. Let it die. Let it die. Okay? Scorpion, a little help here. No.
Fatality.
All right. Oh, yes. Let's talk about Tyler's favorite game, Pokemon Let's Go.
It is my favorite game.
Yes, it is.
Game of the year for me.
Game of the year for you. Gosh. No, it's not. It's so not. You don't even have it.
No, I don't. No.
So.
Also, rude of Ariana Grande did not accept my invite to come onto the podcast. I saw that. Extremely rude.
Wait, what happened?
Ariana Grande loves playing Pokemon Let's Go.
Yeah, yes.
And I tweeted to come onto the podcast to discuss. And did she respond? No. She ignored me. I just wanted her to come on to discuss.
Okay, hold on. Okay, I heard that differently because I thought she said she responded and was rude to you. And I'm like, that witch with stronger language. But yeah. No, she just ignored you.
No,
that's
she
different.
Just didn't come on to the podcast. Is she here now? No. Very rude. Very, but, very rude.
Come on, man.
I'm not buying her new album.
Did you buy her last album?
Rise up. We will not support Ariana Grande. Please tweet at Ariana Grande. come on to the podcast to discuss, or else we're not buying your album.
Hey, it could be worse. It could be like what Yahya Khan did to Will.
Yeah. No. I interviewed her. I think that was you, dude.
No.
Oh, you asked her.
Oh, wait, that was her. That was her. That's right.
That you asked her for an interview, but she never followed up. I personally did an interview. I still have that interview on the site and pinned.
We don't support Yahya Khan either.
Okay. No, I asked her if she wanted to come to the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. She said yes, and then when I tried to set up a date, she said no, or she didn't respond. So, okay, I remember that now. But still, it's whatever. It happens. But I'm not gonna blame Ariana Grande for not talking to you because she gets tweeted like how many times in a day?
But listen, she got invited onto a prestigious podcast, and she thinks she's better than us. Really?
I believe her exact words in this situation is "thank you, next."
Yeah, and that's just not right. It's just wrong.
Sonic, Kaku, back to Pokemon. Let's go.
Oh gosh, NEP episode 115, combating a Grande experience. Oh no! All right, but yes, Pokemon. Let's go. I suppose we could talk about that. Basically, they said that not only are the games, especially Pokemon Let's Go, doing well, both Nintendo and Pokemon are very pleased by how well both it and its companion Pokemon Go have done. And they go, apparently the two sides are looking for more ways to have synergies between the mobile and the core franchises. And quoting, we've benefited in a lot of ways. And so I'm not sure what this means for the Pokemon core game. But it could mean something.
Yeah, that would be so torture. That would be the worst. Yeah, I want them to innovate. I definitely want them to innovate. But I just don't. I don't see how these two worlds really, like, I don't think that they mesh as well as Nintendo seems to think that they do. And maybe they do. Maybe I'm just, like, in the minority of Pokemon fans who just want to see, like, I want to see the series evolve and change. But I want to see it maybe get a little more in depth than it currently is. You know, like, I don't want to see the capture mechanics become simpler, whatever stupid nonsense that they're throwing at you. And I really don't want to see us retread old places. Like, I don't want to go back to Kanto again. Like, I want to see some new stuff.
Yeah. I'm with you there. I mean, if they want to keep connecting between, like, Go and Let's Go, that's fine. But
right.
Keep it out of the core game. So. All right, let's see. Oh, yes, Tyler, I want you to talk about this one. Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe. Go ahead.
New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe. First of all, none of us have it, right?
Nope.
But we are in the minority because this game did insanely well when it released last week. It has already sold through 56%. It had a 56% higher sales number than the initial Wii U sales. It was a launch title on the Wii U. It was one of the only titles you could get on the Wii U when it launched. That's an astronomical number. It knocked off Smash Bros. In Japan to be the number one selling game of the week. These Wii U ports, man, they continue to dominate. This is going to be an easy million seller, probably looking at upwards to 2, maybe even 3. I mean, it's incredible how well it sold in its initial week.
Well, to be fair as well, like, the beginning of this month, there really wasn't much competition, to say the least. I mean, again, it's like, nothing really is going to be... I mean, there is going to be... Resident Evil 2 coming up in a few... Yeah, it's coming up in a few weeks. I'm not sure if it's this month or next month.
It's before Kingdom Hearts. It's like the 22nd or 23rd.
It's the 29th.
Yes, Kingdom Hearts 29th, and then it'll be announced on the Switch on the 5th.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, it didn't really have much competition, so I think that's also one of the reasons why it did so well.
Yeah.
And plus, like, how many people have bought the original, like, the previous iterations? Like, how many iterations? Like, 5 iterations since then? I don't know. But yeah, like, back on the Wii U, like, even for, like, the Wii U's low numbers, it sold well, and now with the Switch numbers, like, millions and billions, yeah, pretty much the 7 million units out there right now, and who hasn't bought this thing? I mean, it's a good chance that people have bought this thing again, even if they don't have bought it before. And remember, Smash's original one on the Wii U had like the touchpad function. So I don't know, that transition here from the Wii U gamepad to the Switch unit is, I don't know, perhaps it's a good way to bring in new fans as well, is in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued by this, because honestly, of all the ports, I honestly felt that this one would do the worst because of the fact that it was a Wii U launch title. And maybe it's just the Mario effect, where if you didn't get the Wii U, which was, you know, differing the Switch and the Wii U is about 14 million people, you know, they're going, hey, it's a new Mario adventure, and hey, it's got, I think the biggest addition is, of course, Super Luigi U.
Right.
So you have literally double the levels in one package, plus Bowsette. Oh, I'm sorry, Toadette. That's okay. Oh, internet, you'll never disappoint me. Wait, yes you will. Yes you will. Grinch Link. But yeah, but with all the new additions plus Super Luigi U and of course the slight HD boost, this is a very packed game. Like, all the reviews I've seen of this said it's an incredibly competent Mario title. It's better than the Wii U version because it's got Super Luigi U included. It's something to get you going in the new year. And so even if you're not like Will, who was waiting for, you know, Travis Strikes Again because it's a mature title, you got this one and you're covered. So I dig it. I'm happy that I am so happy that all these ports are selling millions. Like, I think only like one or two of the ports have not sold millions, and it was very close. So heck yeah. I mean, of course, this is going to encourage Nintendo to keep bringing over the ports, which I somewhat support, because eventually you're going to run out, you know. And according to Monolith Soft, they're not going to bring over Xenoblade Chronicles X because that would be too much work, which I support because they need to be working on 3 and X2. You will bring me X2, Monolith Soft. I know you're listening. So I deserve the ending to that story. Moving on. But yeah, I was surprised. I saw that number 2, Tyler, and I was like, wow, it sold that much better on its initial sales. That's very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, really, really good numbers there. And Tales of Vesperia Definitive Edition also sold pretty well. It was in the top 10 the UK charts. So.
Yeah, so like Tales of Vesperia, I probably should probably get that one once it goes down in price. But again, Tales of Vesperia, it only appeared on the Xbox 360. So now coming on the major consoles, this is definitely one of the more popular Tales series that's, yeah, in the franchise. So if you haven't got a chance to, definitely try pick this one up. I mean, I'll be waiting, but I'm definitely want to go and try this game when in sometime in the near future.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to get that as well. And I actually would get New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe if it wasn't $60. Like, I want to get it because I know I'll like that game and it'd be fun to play with friends, but $60, I mean, that's a lot. I'd rather just Mario Party, which I still don't have.
Right. So, and yeah, I mean, yeah, that's kind of a little thing, a subtopic, but basically, like, games that comes out, like, in the beginning, usually, sometimes, they drop them maybe, like, $10 probably after a month after release, so you probably have a good chance there. But, yeah, if there's a game that you can't afford to wait, then, yeah, I say definitely wait it out.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. If you like Mario games and you didn't get this one when it came out on the Wii U, I think it's worth it. I mean, to me, it's the best 2D Mario game since World. I mean, it's an incredibly great game. It definitely worth picking up if you haven't already gotten it. It's just the fact that there's really no new content outside the Luigi U being bundled in,
yeah,
which you could have also previously gotten. But both games are amazing, and I highly recommend checking them out.
I don't know if I'll get it because I had the Wii U version. I enjoyed it, but I don't feel the urge to play it again. And I could spend my money elsewhere. But I am excited. I'm glad that it's selling so well because that means that Nintendo is already off to a great 2019 start. And even though the reviews for Travis Strikes Again are a little bit more mixed, sorry, Will, it still looks like it's going to do well enough to maybe get No More Heroes 3. So we'll see about that. And I look forward, of course, Will, to you talking about it next week. So just don't spend the whole podcast doing it.
No promises.
I have the power, Will. I am admin here. I can mute you for life. Oh yeah, you're not gonna be laughing next week. Moving on.
Kill, kill.
All right. Well, that actually wraps up. See, there was also a pretty decent bit of news. Granted, much of it was Mortal Kombat, but there was something. But obviously, ladies and gentlemen, and podcasters of all ages, whatever. There's one piece of news that we are still waiting on. Where is my Nintendo Direct? Yeah. So we're gonna discuss what we feel needs to be in the next Nintendo Direct whenever it decides to show up in the next meeting of the NEP Secret Society. All right, I call this meeting to order. Tyler, since you were the one who brought up this idea, and I thank you for that, why don't you start off? What is, in your opinion, the most important thing that has to be shown at the first Nintendo Direct of 2019?
The most important thing you say? Well, that to me
One.
is the release dates for unannounced titles. I know that Nintendo will never give us the release dates for all the unannounced titles. We're not going to get the Pokemon release date. We're not going to get the Metroid release date, I would imagine. I mean, maybe we could get the Metroid one in a surprise, maybe. But for games like Animal Crossing and games like Luigi's Mansion 3, Deus Ex Machina, Fire Emblem Three Houses, Bayonetta 3, I really want to see release dates for those games. That's the most important thing to me because right now we know we have a ton of stuff coming, but we don't know when or how it's going to be spaced out. And it's very difficult as a consumer, I think, to kind of plan out your purchases when you don't know what's coming when. So they did give us the Yoshi release date, which was March 29th. So that was good. They did that on Twitter. But outside of that, I might be wrong, but I don't think we have hard release dates for any of the other games.
Not to my knowledge, no. The Yoshi is the only one we know in the next 2 months outside of obviously Mario, which just released, and Travis Strikes Again.
Right. I mean, so that's the number one thing for me. I really want to know what the end of winter and spring calendar looks like. So we know, I think we know what titles are going to be in that batch, but just kind of on a hunch, like when we know Yoshi with Fire Emblem's in that spring window. But I think that's the most important thing is to really flesh out when these games are coming.
Will, how
Yeah,
about you?
I definitely agree on that side. Is we Nintendo has announced that many games like no with no direct based again with Yoshi, the new Yoshi game coming out like fairly soon in the springtime season, and then we have Mortal Kombat, and other titles that I can't remember right now. But yeah, Nintendo, I'm just waiting for like the details right now. We're already like in the middle of the month of January, and so far we still haven't heard anything else. Like, what is their plans? What is their like schedule map of release titles? Like, yeah, okay, you tell us that Yoshi's World was coming up in new future, but what about what else? Like, yeah, both Metroid Prime 4 and Bayonetta 3. Like, what else have you got cooking? And I don't know. Like, part of me feels like I don't mind the wait because, again, Nintendo will be Nintendo. They'll show it off when it's ready. But at the same time, the general audience and consensus is basically asking, like, where is this Nintendo Direct? It's almost becoming an internet meme. Like, where is the Direct? Every single time that Nintendo posts on Twitter or Facebook, where's the Direct? Where's the Direct? Where's the Direct? Like, yeah, like, I think they're kind of frothing in the mouth right now that you provide them something a bit more concrete. So, I don't know. Yeah, I kind of understand both sides of the arguments of wanting this direct to come soon.
Well, it's not about what's right and what's wrong. It's about what we demand. Dang it! I'm kidding. Okay, kind of kid. Look, the thing is that when we did the whole breakdown of last year, which we cannot say, we noted that they were really slow in the beginning of 2018, like impactfully slow. I mean, we only had the Bayonetta port in February, which did well enough, but it wasn't exactly the biggest release around. And then Kirby was a surprise with getting over 1 million in a couple of weeks, which was great. But then we had Port City until June with Mario Tennis Aces. We can't have that again. And again, they're already starting out great. We got New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe U, which has done well, and then Travis Strikes Again, which is exclusive to the Switch. That's going to be good, even if it doesn't like make super millions. I would hope it get at least 1 million. That would be really good, and I think it's very, very possible. But and now we got Yoshi in the end of March, but then that's still all of February and 28 days of March that we don't have anything right now. We need a Nintendo Direct just so we can say, is there going to be something in between that gap, or are we going to be just twiddling our thumbs and hoping for something to come? For me, the biggest thing is the idea of they need to show more about the games they've only teased. And Tyler's touched on a couple of these, but our dear friend Cromcho is desperately hoping for a Nintendo Direct just because she wants to see more of Animal Crossing for Switch, where the only thing we saw was that Tom Nook teaser after the Isabelle reveal for Smash Brothers, which was fine. That's all they needed to show at the time. But now we're here in 2019. It's assumed, and y'all know what happens when you assume, that the game's coming out in 2019. That's great, but show us something more. What's the title? Give us some more gameplay features. Maybe show us a trailer of something unique that's to the Switch version. And then, of course, there's Metroid, where we literally only had the logo shown. How about a shot of Samus? How about a shot of Samus and Ridley? Or Samus and Silex? You know, show us her going up against someone. Show us something. Show us how Samus is going to look in HD in a non-Smash Brothers capacity, Tyler. And, I still remember that crack you made last time. Oh, she's in HD in Smash Brothers. It's not the same, Tyler. But then, how about Daemon X Machina? You know, Daemon X Machina was revealed quite strangely last year at E3, and then we had like certain reveals on Twitter of all things. But and this is a big title. I mean, this is a title that I bet you it sells like millions in Japan personally. But you know, give us some more on that. Give us some more in this direct on that. And then, of course, obviously, Fire Emblem Three Houses. You've teased a lot of games. Now you need to show us these games. Give us a reason to be super excited for it. Prove to us that 2019 is the next 2017. Because that year was awesome for Switch owners, even during the downtimes, because we had so many games to play. So help us to understand that this is going to be another great year by showing us the games you have teased.
That great points, great points. Like Nintendo, as I said, that they have shown all these great games that's coming up on the horizon, and we just only know the bare minimum, like the fact that it's coming. We see some designs, like with Fire Emblem Three Houses, and some slight gameplay, alpha gameplay, and yeah, it's just like, okay, we already have this, just this basic information. Like, yeah, I agree. Now's the time to definitely show, also prime timing right now to show that 2019 is indeed going to be Nintendo's years, like with 2017, with its inaugural year. So yeah, I agree. Yeah, Nintendo is definitely prime spot right now, and definitely take this year if they really be open with their audience. I agree. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely need to see gameplay of these titles as well. The release dates only does so much. I mean, you're right. I think it would probably be even more important to see what the games actually look like from a, at least from a fun perspective. You know, I'm dying to see what Fire Emblem Three Houses looks like. And the same thing for Yoshi. I mean, that's another title that we've seen a decent amount of, and let's see the potential for these games.
All right, so let's go on to reasonable expectations. Reasonable, Will. Reasonable. What do you think we actually will see at the Nintendo Direct?
For reasonable expectations.
Reasonable expectations.
Yes, reasonable. Don't worry.
I have
not Travis Touchdown
you're on
Smash.
The show.
That's unreasonable.
I'm still like a whole slight hope. But for reasonable expectations, I think we're definitely going to see something more. We're going to Shin Megami Tensei 5 because Atlus also kind of like teased it in their end of celebration of the new year that they will have something to be showing off of their new games, like with the Sentinel games. I don't know. I think this may also come to Switch. I don't know. But yeah, I have a feeling that we'll be showing off something more of Shin Megami Tensei 5. Like, basically the progress, and maybe even not a better teaser trailer, because all we just got is one teaser trailer for that game. So I think it's about prime time to show off another teaser trailer. And another reasonable guess, if anything else, is I feel like maybe they'll probably show off Metroid Prime 4, honestly. Like, again, it's about, like, it almost feels like it's been 2 years, 3 years now since then. And yeah, I think it's some prime time now to actually show something of Metroid Prime 4.
I really want to see two games announced that we've heard of, but we haven't seen officially announced yet, and that's Star Fox Grand Prix and Pikmin 4. And I know it kind of seemed like you might say, oh, that's a little unreasonable, but I don't really think so. I mean, Miyamoto said back in 2015 that Pikmin 4 was nearly complete. That's 4 years ago. That's a long time for a game to be nearly complete and yet never seen. So I do think that that's very possible that we could see that. And I do still believe that Star Fox Grand Prix is Retro's project. They might not have revealed it because reactions to it were kind of mixed. But I hope to see that as well. And it doesn't really have to be those two titles. I mean, we could go outside the box and see, a new entry in 2D Mario or any Nintendo franchise. But I think those are probably the two most reasonable things to expect.
For me, I honestly expect a gameplay trailer for Yoshi's Crafted World, because we got the story trailer last time, so I expect a little bit more of a gameplay just to remind players of what it's like. And then I definitely expect a trailer from Fire Emblem Three Houses, because they said spring 2019, which we're getting closer to, and I can't wait. I hate the cold. So I definitely expect that, and then I'm not sure about Metroid, because that sounds like something they could honestly save to E3. We'd all hate it if they did, but we're all going to be grateful when we see it. It's one of those weird things. I would be surprised if there was a surprise for something that we honestly have no idea about, but it's going to come out in 2019. You know, because Nintendo is, you know, they're honestly really good at that at times. So
they are.
I know. I can't see them doing anything, even though I want them to. I really want them to. I can't see them doing anything beyond the first 6 months, because they'll want to say something big for E3, especially this year with Sony backing out.
I will say, though, remember last year you said, and I quote, there will not be Smash Bros. This year. And then in March, really early, there was Smash Bros. So it's not impossible that they could.
I said it was very unlikely that it would be Smash Brothers. I never said it was impossible.
Well, you said it wasn't going to happen. Yeah, I'm sure that you said it was impossible. Stop mocking me.
All right, Dr. Evil.
Hey, come here, freaking break here, okay, man? All right? It was a million to one chance. And what's millions to one when you can have billions to one? Or what's that mini-me? Or you think Tyler's an idiot too? Oh, that's not nice. What? That's not nice at all. Will is the idiot, not Tyler. We've established this.
Zip it. Gotcha.
Oh, now, yeah. You can't zip me
zip
up.
It.
I'm the host.
Zip it. When you have a problem, you must zip it. Zip it, good. Zip it.
All right, this is quickly developed. Anyway,
yeah, let's move on.
I would also love to see the Super Smash Bros. Patch come with Piranha Plant as a surprise. It's here reveal.
I still don't have my email. I just want to make that known to the world. It's been weeks, and I still don't have my email.
That's concerning. I would reach out.
I should reach out.
It did take mine a long time to come in as well. If they do that, it probably the direct won't be until February, because that's when Piranha Plant's scheduled. But yeah, it would be great to have a patch 1.3 coming out. We're doing our first balance patch. We're doing our first character update with Piranha Plant and a Joker teaser. That would be a nice thing that I think is pretty much a guarantee at the next Direct. I mean, if it is in January and it's not a day in, oh, and you can go play as Piranha Plant right now situation, then we'll still see gameplay of him for sure. Him and Joker, we will definitely, sorry, I dropped my thing. We'll definitely see both of them.
Yeah. So, and I would love for there to be the next Smash Brothers DLC announcement or maybe a Joker gameplay trailer, but I just don't know. It just depends on, you know, how far they are, because Sakurai said that they were far enough, but when they were making the trailer for the Game Awards, they had nothing to show. So it's like, well, where are you now? So
Piranha Plant's done. I mean,
yeah,
no,
Piranha Plant's done. Piranha Plant's done. But Joker and the others, you know, they obviously know the characters, but will they do another Joker and do another stylized trailer, or will they do something else? It's really up in the air. So we'll just have to see. But I think the one thing that all of us at the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast can agree on is we want it now.
Will,
I don't
want to
wait
now
till March again or February for a freaking
honestly,
mini
I can,
direct.
Honestly, I'm patient. I can wait.
Oh, please.
Will
you're
has
not
patience.
Patient. Oh, really? Then why are you mad at me for getting all the lagus?
Good question.
Yeah.
Mm.
But Todd, oh, you could have easily said, well, Todd, I'm very happy for you, and I will use my next 8 days to try and get the lagus myself so I may join you in your happiness. No, it was, screw you, Todd. Nanny? So, yeah. Patience. Right. I don't have my characters that I want. I must create a blood sacrifice to the gods.
Zip it.
I can't believe you paid $75 for that stupid pack, though, Will.
Do not judge me. It
too late.
The Aether raids has actually been helped. Those stones have helped out greatly, thank you.
Yeah.
I say it was well worth it.
If it was worth it, it was worth it.
Yeah. But seriously, we really need something. We need a word, at least a tease. Even if they just come out and say our next Nintendo Direct isn't coming out until February, at least we have a date.
Yeah,
or a window or something. But this is what killed them last year, was that they were radio silent for so long at the beginning of 2018. And then when we did get it, the first Direct, it was a mini.
Yeah.
It was not satisfying. It wasn't satisfying at all. And then the next one was the Smash Brothers one, which was satisfying, but that took too long.
I respect Todd's ability to continue. Like, I remember when we watched that mini, you didn't like it. And me and Will both thought it was really good.
But you
didn't like it. And you remember not liking it to this moment. Like, you didn't. There's no revisionist history. You're
nope.
Like, no, I didn't like it.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So, hopefully by this time next week, we'll have either better news for you, or we'll be talking about the Nintendo Direct that we hopefully have gotten. And if not, we'll just continue to rage against the machine until it comes out. I see nothing wrong with either of these scenarios. So, with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, last week we asked you which Legend of Zelda game had the best ending, or the best final boss fight. And you guys, like, really missed the mark here. Like, you really messed up. So Ocarina of Time won with 32%. Like, that's an okay final boss fight. Like, I like it. Don't get me wrong. Especially if we're counting in the top of the tower and then you go run down to the bottom. It's a good boss fight. But come on, really? 21% for Wind Waker. That was third. That's definitely the best. 19% for Twilight Princess. That's probably the second best. That was the lowest. And then Breath of the Wild with 28%. I mean,
that
I
was
do,
surprising.
That
wow.
was very surprising. I yeah. do think that we have lots of fans who probably haven't played the other games yet.
I agree.
Which is very possible. So if you haven't, you should check those out because, yeah, you think that ending was good. The other ones are all better. In my
opinion too, but what I loved about this poll, even though my game Twilight Princess lost, we had over 100 votes on this.
We did.
We had 111
votes,
which is one of our biggest polls ever. So thank you everyone who voted on this poll, and we hope you'll continue to do so, because we really like hearing your opinions, even when they're wrong. I couldn't resist. I had to get that in there. All right, so this week's podcast question, how about we tailor it around the Nintendo Direct?
Yeah.
Okay, when do you think we will get the next Nintendo Direct? In 1 week, in 2 weeks, which would still technically be January, like beginning of February. C, middle of February, or D, March and beyond. Yeah. So I'm curious to see, because remember, vote logically, people. Logically. So.
Oh, you're talking about the internet. They never think of logic.
Yeah, it's true. So true. I mean, again, this is the thing that made Bowsette a thing.
Hey, people loved it. Everybody loved it, including great famous mangakas.
Yeah, and his girlfriend voiced her, quote unquote. So that's our poll question. We look forward to hearing what you say. And of course, let us know what you think. What do you think about Mortal Kombat 11? What are you most excited about? And did you love the violence, you pervert? No, I'm kidding. Some people are into that stuff.
You'd be surprised. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. It's the internet. Are you excited for the new Power Rangers fighting game? Like I am. What do you think about where Nintendo is going to be going in the future? Or were you one of the people who bought Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe? And so on and so forth. And of course, for Will, are you getting Travis Strikes Again No More Heroes? So definitely tweet to him about that so you all can go nerding together. Nerds!
We prefer the term otaku. Thank you very much.
Don't start with me, man. Don't start with me. Zip it. All right. So for Talius, Tyler, Wario, Zip It, Will, and I am Triforce Todd. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not allies. We have made it to the end of the level. So raise the flag.